This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The National Audubon Society unveiled a new online bird migration explorer tool. It lets users interact with a map that shows the migration paths of birds across every state. You can follow the flight paths of, say, black bull warblers or trumpeter swans to see how they go north and south throughout the year. Fall migration is already rolling for a lot of birds, others getting ready to take flight soon. Our next guest wrote the book on Wisconsin birds and is here to help us learn more about the wildlife in the sky this time of year. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you gone out to watch the birds migrate this season? What birds are you seeing show up in your area? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Charles Hagner is the director of Bird City, Wisconsin, and the author of the American Birding Association Field Guide to Birds of Wisconsin. He was previously editor-in-chief of Birdwatching Magazine. Chuck, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. It's a real pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
I understand, birds have already been showing up on radar, so many of them in the air during this migration. We're like right in the middle of some big migrations, right?
We absolutely are. In my years as the editor of Birdwatching Magazine and the time that I spent working on my own field guide, I realized that really the four seasons that we humans observe doesn't really apply to birds. In fact, I came to think that there's really only two seasons. There's north and there's south. And we are definitely in the southward part of the year now.
Now, what kinds of birds are showing up in Wisconsin that we might not see the rest of the year? You know, this is our one chance during the migration season to spot them.
Well, the birds that come the farthest to reach us here are undoubtedly the shorebirds. Almost all of the shorebirds that we see along the shores of Lake Superior or in Green Bay or down along the shore of Lake Michigan, where I am, breed. They make their nest up in the Arctic, and where the breeding season, the summer season, is extremely short. So those birds may have laid their eggs or made a nesting attempt in that brief summer window and then been on their way as early as July 4th. So they've been moving south since through July into August, and they're moving now. So they are birds that we don't get to see, or we get to see only briefly. And that is definitely one that a lot of bird watchers like me really look forward to seeing.
I saw, I guess, a fun fact, red-winged blackbirds, which is a bird I can identify because their description is their name. I appreciate that. I don't really think of them as migrating. They do, I guess, head south, but only as far as Illinois?
Red-winged blackbirds form large congregations, and they mass together and form huge flocks that fly as far south as the Gulf Coast states.
Oh, they do go that far.
Sometimes that migration can be just truly awe-inspiring. I remember one time I was traveling with some friends. I used to live in the Washington, D.C. area, and we were driving down the Delmarva Peninsula to see a snowy owl that had appeared early. And the migration of grackles and red-winged blackbirds was so huge that it formed a long line of dark birds flying overhead. And it was like some of the old descriptions that you read of the passenger pigeon. It was a long line of birds that stretched from one horizon line to the other. It was truly awe-inspiring.
I don't know that I've ever seen that. That's a super common bird here. What am I doing wrong?
they're around. And they're also one of the reasons that people like me really get excited by red-winged blackbirds is that they arrive very early in the spring. So when we have grown tired of shoveling and we're sick of cold and we think that maybe spring or summer will never arrive, when we finally hear that red-winged blackbird call, it's a great sign that, the snow is going to melt and there will be a time when we won't have to be leaning on the snowblower anymore.
Now, what kind of birds do we get to see all through the winter? I can name cardinals, I know, because I see them in my backyard through the winter. Who else likes to hang out through the winter?
Well, there's Wisconsin Society for Ornithology lists they list exactly 442 birds on the state list. And of those, only about 30 or so breed in the state, and we've been there's about 40 or so, maybe 48 or so that stay all year round. Some of them are urban dwellers, very familiar characters like pigeons and doves and starlings, the ubiquitous house sparrow, but also some interesting birds like the peregrine falcon, which has really just taken to living in urban areas. Others are nomads like waxwings and robins. Contrary to what most people think, the robin does not really migrate very far for in the winter. You can find large groups, large flocks of robins throughout the winter. They'll move around the state looking for sources of open water and also for usually fruit and other sweet stuff to eat. And then a whole pile of cavity nesting birds like woodpeckers, chickadees, nuthatches, starlings. These are birds that find shelter inside, either an old tree, an old woodpecker hole, or they excavate their own holes, and then they're able to take shelter during the winter. So there's a number of birds that we see all around, and all throughout the entire year. Some of the most interesting ones for me are the birds that actually do migrate, but they don't leave the state. There's a number of birds like that, like bald eagles is a good example on a continental scale, because even though we see bald eagles all year round, their population grows during the winter time because the numbers in the population here in the state are augmented by all these birds that come from the Upper Peninsula and Canada and points north as they move down in search of open water.
Talking to Chuck Hagner, director of Bird City, Wisconsin, author of the American Birding Association Field Guide to Birds of Wisconsin, looking at this fall migration season. You can share your sightings over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Want to listen to a sound that I love hearing, the sound of the migrating sandhill crane. And Chuck, I didn't grow up in Wisconsin. My wife did, and she's just she loves that we hear sandhill cranes. They've been such an amazing recovery story here in the state. Can you talk about sandhills a little?
Sandhills are the bird that inspired Aldo Leopold and other naturalists and conservationists in our state's history, and they really are just a true sound of Wisconsin. You can find them. I spent a lot of time on the sidelines of my daughter's soccer team, and it's been more than once that we shared that field with sandhill cranes, even though we're in the Milwaukee area. Watching them and hearing them fly overhead is a real treat, and it's also one of the things that makes fall migration quite spectacular if you don't mind traveling a little bit, because some of the gathering places for sandhill cranes as they make their migration are nothing short of spectacular. One is up in Crex Meadows in the northwestern part of the state, and another is at Jasper Pulaski National Wildlife Refuge in Indiana. And there's a number of others that where you can see sandhill cranes in huge numbers, and that is a great sight.
All right, we've got another call, a bird call here. Warblers fly over Wisconsin. Here's the, I'm not familiar with this one, the American Redstart. All right, I don't know much about warblers. Don't know if I could pick them out of a lineup. Chuck, tell us about them.
No, the warblers are the family of birds that really gets the pulse racing for almost any bird watcher. They arrive in the spring, typically in like one big huge wave at the end of April and the beginning of May, and they're delightful to see because unlike some other birds, warblers wear breeding plumage that is frequently characterized by bold wing stripes, bright colors on the head, eyelines. They're beautiful to see, and many of them nest in the state, not all of them. Some continue up farther north, and when they return in the fall, as they have been since the end of August until now, they wear their non-breeding plumage, which is in many cases not as vibrant, but in the Red Sox case, it's still quite a stunner to see. It's an all black bird with white underparts, but with these beautiful bright orange markings on the on either side of the chest and on the tail. It's a that's the male. It's a very beautiful bird.
So we're going to call her. Mark is with us in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Good afternoon. You were just talking about sandhill cranes. I live in the Two Rivers area. I moved here about 24 years ago, and seeing a sandhill crane 24 years ago was a very rare. Now we see them all the time. In fact, I just saw some a moment ago.
Nice.
Several of them, in fact.
Mark, thanks a lot for sharing that sighting with us. I appreciate it. Now, Chuck, before I let you go, I want to ask you about Bird City, Wisconsin. You're looking to make, I understand, bird-friendly communities. What can people do?
Well, Bird City, Wisconsin is a program that was started by Milwaukee Audubon Society and is now run by the Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory. Our purpose is to recognize cities and other communities throughout Wisconsin for the steps they take to make their communities more bird friendly and to educate their residents about how birds make life better. You may have seen some of our signs in some of the cities that you might drive through. There's a pretty orange and green sign that shows a couple of barn swallows flying overhead, an urban sort of like setting. And these are communities, those signs are one of the ways that we recognize communities. They get those signs when they satisfy a number of criteria by which they prove that they really have taken those steps and they really have tried to be bird friendly.
Chuck, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Charles Hagner, director of Bird City, Wisconsin, author of the American Birding Association Field Guide to Birds of Wisconsin, with us today to share more about the state's migratory birds heading south for the winter. You can keep sharing your sightings, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now it's the fall member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is the foundation of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. It's the largest piece. Tom Lujak is with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make an even greater impact when you give right now. $25,000 will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous Wisconsin Public Radio members have created this special challenge to inspire your support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
So let's do this. Let's meet this challenge. Your gift, any amount right now, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we looked up at the skies and at all the amazing birds making their way out of Wisconsin for the winter or through Wisconsin for the winter, a changing wildlife scene here to keep track of what's going on. It's an example of the kind of Wisconsin-focused conversation we have, helping us understand what is going on in our backyards, whether it's birds flying through, what's going on at the state legislature, and all points in between. That's what you can count on here on Central Time.
And, of course, WPR is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, and then please make a gift.
Take your Wisconsin Public Radio pride on the road with the new WPR tote. With a vibrant orange and blue design, your support of the WPR programs you value is going to be on full display. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this fall member drive at Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujack. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really makes a difference for our entire community.
You might be sitting there saying, well, how much should I give? You know what? It's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into programs that'll keep both you informed and the rest of the community informed and entertained throughout the year.
And your gift right now in any amount will count toward that 500 gift challenge today and tomorrow to get that $25,000 challenge. So make your gift right now in the amount that is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you for making this investment that serves your whole community.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, well, think again. It's gifts from tens of thousands of people combined together that make WPR programs possible.
Many first-time donors will give $5 or $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. You decide the amount that works for you, and then join that team effort with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The team effort that Rob is talking about, a group of generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
And pick up the Wisconsin Public Radio tote when you give. It's great for your books or your groceries or your miscellaneous stuff, you name it. This tote will be your new favorite on-the-go accessory. Ask for that tote when you give. $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, we thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.